these wide snowy mountains, and in that moment I felt this immense joy, and the Lord started to speak to me about in his presence there is fullness of joy, and the scripture about I've told you these things so that my joy may be in you, my joy may might be made complete. This came to my mind, and I just started to feel like when we are really abiding in him, in his spirit, and like dwelling in his presence, our joy will be made complete, and we will experience that fullness of joy.
Beautiful. I'll share now how that, or you will hear how that fits into the message the Lord has passed along. Stan, you can also share your word.
I just had this picture of a water stream running through these different sizes of dams. And I'm so aware of just, it's not important how big the dam is that you're finding yourself in, or how high up or how low in the stream it is. It's about being in the stream and allowing that stream to carry you for where you need to go. Because you will be prepared for the next thing you're going to in where you are.
Thanks, Tian. Thanks, Ruday. So, yeah, keep that in mind, maybe even as I go into his word now. And maybe just to quickly share what I feel, even on Stian's word, the dams may represent. Hello, good to see you. Sorry, got distracted. What a pleasant surprise. Sandile. Anyway, the dams may represent maybe a situation currently where you feel you're struggling in, you know. Maybe you feel like I'm fighting to stay up. I'm struggling, there's a battle, there's difficult things you're going through at the moment in your life. And, you know, we often Afrikaans who say, yes, I felt I was a trap water. You know, it's just like I'm keeping above. I don't know if that's the right word. Like I'm trying to just stay afloat. I think often we feel like that in our lives, which may represent even self-effort to be there. And in Stian's word, we know the Bible speaks about Jesus being also like a river that flows, and we must make sure we are fully submerged or in the river to just almost in a sense surrender, to just like, Lord, I'm just surrendering and I'm allowing you to take me and to do in my life whatever you want. So, and then the word of joy will also just quickly become also something part of what I want to share. So, we've been on a journey. Just want to put it a bit closer. I always feel so far from you. That's my one time and I'm done. So, maybe even a bit more with them. So, on a journey where God has been speaking about what does it mean for us to belong to him. You know, just the value and the heart of belonging. It's just such a beautiful and an important thing for us to really understand. So even if what I'm going to share now, if you haven't been here the previous couple of weeks, I really want to encourage you to make the time and go and listen to these recordings. So really to listen, as I really trust that the Lord wants to come and do something specific in our hearts. So I want to ask us a question. For all of you sitting here this morning, okay, who of you want to live in the will of God? Who wants to live in God's will? Okay. I think it's a pretty rhetorical question, but it's great to see all the hands. And the next question I want to ask that may be a bit more challenging, okay? So you don't have to put up your hand on this one, but and I want to say what I'm going to share this morning. It's almost like often God puts something on my heart and I start to prepare and I'm like, Lord, I almost feel even if it's just for myself, it's really, so I'm first in line to say this, whatever I'm going to share on today, it's applicable to me also. I'm not excluding myself in any way. And it's something we are really on a journey with. And maybe just to quickly mention how the Lord works. I was prepared again with another sermon for today. And then as I was praying this morning, the Lord just came and spoke, okay, and he was speaking very clearly to me. about what's on his heart for today. And to be honest, my flesh, and in that moment, I felt like, oh, shucks, Lord. We had a terrible night. We, as you can hear, we're feeling a bit sick. Daniel is sick. He was throwing up this morning. He was crying the whole time. It was chaos. So in my mind, I was like, I rather want to help Angelica and just try to get things sorted so that we can come to church this morning. I don't want to use this time to really like prepare a new sermon the morning on Sunday morning. I'm like, I'm very well prepared on something else that the Lord has given me a while back. And then this morning, God just came and like was speaking to me, and I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to be obedient. But even in that quick, you know, situation I just shared now, you're gonna see how this forms even part of what the Lord is busy doing. It's almost like he's already testing on what he's placed in my heart to share with you guys today. So the second question is, how desperate or serious are we about being and living in his will? Okay, we all said we want to live in God's will, okay? But if we have to be honest about ourselves, how serious or desperate are we that we will make sure we are living in his will? It's quite a tough thing to reflect on if we're going to be honest, eh? If I look at my life, I'm like, yes, I want to be in the will of God. Because another rhetorical question. Who believes that being in God's will is the best, safest place to be? Okay? Who believes like living in his will? There's no better place. It's the safest, best place to be. Okay, but again, how desperate and how serious are we to make sure we are living in his will? And then maybe another question. What is his will for our lives? What is God's will for your life? Can you answer that question? If not, I'm trusting that the Lord will come and stir and do something in your heart today that hopefully in a couple of days or weeks, it will be an answer that you can in faith clearly answer. Like, I know that I know that this is God's will for my life. It's okay. Then also, like, how do we know what his will is? What is his will and how do we know this? I'm not going to give all the answers now, but I want to stir something because there's a part of, for us, that we need to really make it a priority and go and seek, Lord, what is your will for my life? How do I live in your will? Okay, trusting what I'm going to share now will stir a lot of things for us to go on that journey. Matthew 6 verse 25 to 34, and it's maybe one of the most well-known chapters in the Bible, but I want to just use this again. Okay, so please follow this next couple of verses. It's very key that we follow and get what I'm going to read now. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It feels like doesn't matter how many times I read that scripture, just every time it's incredible. The Bible is incredible. And I feel there's like even, there's many preachers just from that scripture, but I'm trusting that what the Lord has placed on my heart this morning, He will come and do in our hearts. So, I want to take a step back again. So, as I was preparing this morning, it was like a download. Honestly, it was like a download the Lord was giving, like, gave me. I started to pray. I felt something. I'm like, oh, Lord, but shouldn't I do the other preach? And I was like torn, and then I just felt like faith for this. And I started just like type as the Lord was speaking to me. It was amazing. He was just speaking to me. I was just typing. And it was amazing. As I was typing what the Lord was like saying to me, I realized this. Okay, what was the word that God gave for us as a church in the beginning of the year? I've shared this 10, 15 times. So I'm hoping someone can answer me. What was like the word, like not the word, but like something that we felt, something very important that the Lord wants to come and do in us as a church this year? Who can answer me? Christian?
He wants to come and show us to you. He's truly who He says He is.
Yes.
He proved that to us.
Excellent. That was well summed up for someone with a lot of words. God gave me, like, as I was praying for the year, God asked me this question. Okay, so if we can sit here and we make a list and write, who is God? Okay, we can write his characters. What does the Bible say? Who is God? Okay, we can write provider, helper, many things. Okay, father, savior. And then the Lord asked me, okay, but for all of us, can we honestly say that when we say God is, for example, I'm going to focus on this now, when we say God is our father, can we with an honest heart say that we are living in the reality of who we say He is? So if we say God is our father, can we truly say I'm living in that place where He's my father? Or is it just something I know the Bible says? Okay? And just to say, it's not to put guilt or shame or condemnation on anyone, like in any sense. For all of us will grow in who God is forever until we're with Him. It's not something that we will arrive at fully ever. Does that make sense? If we say, like, I've got to know and I'm living in a measure of God is my helper, I want to say, tomorrow or in a couple of weeks, you'll be maybe tested in another way or in a deeper way of God need, like, you needing God to be your helper. Does that make sense? So it's not something to, like, I'm so mature to take pride in. We will not arrive, but God's heart for us, like His desire, is that we can grow in such a beautiful, deep place of intimacy with Him in relationship, that if I say God is my Father, that it's not just something I say, that we can actually testify in faith and say, I'm living in the reality that when I say He's my Father, He's truly my Father. It's not just something I know. Does that make sense? And isn't that beautiful? That His heart for us is, He actually wants us to live in who He is. That's incredible. I don't think we have the slightest sense of how amazing that is. That He, like who He is, He wants to manifest that in our lives. That's amazing. Like if we can say, looking at that, something that stood out, Father and Provider, but it goes hand in hand, you know, Father and Provider, like, who of you doesn't want that to be a reality in your life, that you can live and say, I'm in such a beautiful place that I can truly know that the Lord is my Provider. Okay, and I'm gonna, yes, it's beautiful that He wants to do. And I want to say this, because that is so valuable, the enemy will come and try to stop that being a reality. Anything in our lives that's valuable, the Lord, the enemy will try and stop. He will try to resist. He will try to kill, steal, and destroy. So I want to say now, if you feel that there's like something trying to stop that will be reality, rejoice. Okay, it means like, hey, you are actually going in that space, but if you don't feel any resistance, your prayer should maybe change to, Lord, help me that that desire will be there, that you can be that for me. Okay, if you feel a resistance, you're stepping like fighting for breath. Okay, don't give up. Okay, it means like there's resistance. Okay. So I answer this question myself. The reading that scripture, what character of God can we highlight or is standing out? And I just mentioned a father and a provider. There's many other things, okay? But I think, well, I only remembered a bit later today's Father's Day, to be honest. And I felt, okay, maybe this is even very good and applicable on Father's Day. Honestly, I only remember that a bit later. So I want to first, like, quickly just make us aware that when this is not a reality, what are the dangers when this is not a reality in our life? Okay, so what is the danger of knowing God as a Father, but we don't really live in that place? Because as I mentioned, we are on a journey of belonging, but to have God as our Father is the same in a sense as it means we belong to Him. It goes 100% hand in hand. Does that make sense? It's like, it's a bit, if I say He's truly my Father and I'm living in that place, the thing of that we've been journeying on to belong to Him will be there. Okay? It will also be a reality. I will feel I really belong to God as my Father. We prayed for one another last week for those who said, yes, I'm struggling with this thing, to can honestly say, I'm feeling that I truly belong. I'm finding belonging in Him. And I'm trusting the Lord has already started to do a deep work. Okay, and then something that I want to highlight from that passage. It says, so like, it's almost like a picture where it gives like, do not worry. Okay, it says do not worry. But it gives us these two pictures also that I want to highlight. It's about this life. Do not worry about this life, meaning we are in this world, but we are not from this world. This life is temporary. It's like the flowers or whatever that may be here today, tomorrow it's gone. And so that's the one focus that often causes us to worry or to get distracted or to get consumed on things we shouldn't. And then the other side is that life, the life to come. And that life to come, what is that? It's a day where we will either be in front of Jesus and eternity starts, or He comes back for His bride, you know. Either way, it's the moment where we will be with Jesus forever. He paints this picture. And you know, that's also how the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants us to get so focused on this life. And He wants to put the focus on this life and get so consumed on the temporary things that we lose perspective on the things that have value for eternity. It's things that will make us feel better in the moment, but it's a false feeling. It's a fake feeling. It's a temporary, I'm feeling better. Okay, I want to give us a couple of examples. Maybe things you all relate to, and it's things that I went through at least. Okay, number one, we tend to worry. Okay, there's many things, but I'm just going to give two examples. The one is, what I look like? My physical appearance. 1 Peter 3, verse 3 to 4. Maybe for some of you, it's like, it's not a battle in my life. And that's great, but I think this is often a bigger deal for many of us that we would like to acknowledge. Okay, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great, yes, listen to this, which is of great worth in God's sight. Okay, again, that's a picture. And when God looks at us, what's going on in our inside, our hearts, who we are, is much, much more valuable and worth so much more for God than we look at our physical appearance. And we quickly get to the space where we worry so much and spend so much time, energy, money, and stuff to make sure we look nice and we get all the nice stuff and what I look like or what people think I look like, and we forgot, we quickly forget what's really important for eternity is what the Lord is doing in our insides and our hearts. And I'm sure all of us have fallen into this trap in some way or one another. We get consumed, we spend our time, our energy, our capacity, our worries. We worry. Even if we just think, I worry what people would think of me. It's a worry, a burden that we can drop, eh? To find belonging in God, to know what He thinks, and that His heart is to look at our hearts and to change us. And we don't even have to carry that burden around. It's an unnecessary burden we're carrying around. It's a burden we can drop. It's incredible. Quick story on this. Yo, I want to make sure I don't go into too much time, but quick story, I'll never forget this moment. Like in, I was just done studying, started with my work, with my gym, and then randomly in a month or so, a couple of people randomly just started making comments about, hey, Futa, don't you think you should grow a beard? It was so weird. Like, I was just like, yes, this is so random. Why are people making this comment for the first time in my life? Whatever. And then later on, I'm like, Lord, are you in this? Are you like stirring something? Okay? And I felt like, and I went to pray about it. Like, even off, like only after a while, okay, maybe I should pray about this. And I felt the Lord said, yes, grow a beard. I was like, why should I grow a beard? Okay, I'll grow a beard. And anyway, I started growing a beard. And the interesting what happened, the longer the beard grew, the more I felt like, oh, I don't like how I look. I felt I looked bad. I felt my outward appearance didn't look great. And it even surfaced feelings in my heart that, yo, Futa, when you have a beard and you look like this, you'll never get a wife. Honestly, like it may sound so stupid what I'm saying now, but there was an honest thing like in my heart that, yo, when you look like this, okay? Again, I had a gym at that time. So every day I was gymming very hard. I was so focused on building this muscular body, and I was so consumed on that. Okay, the Lord said, okay, grow a beard. And it surfaced insecurity. It surfaced many things in my life. And I remember, I'm like, Lord, honestly, I feel like if I look like this, because I had such a deep desire to be married and to have a wife, which is not necessarily a bad desire. But it came from a place where I did not know that I was actually looking for my value and my worth, or maybe even like, when I get a wife, then life will be good, which was a lie. No, life will not suddenly become good and perfect when you get married. I can go into many preachers of the value of living in a godly marriage. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm speaking about the lie that often, when I look like this, or when I get this, now I'm going to feel joyful. Now I'm going to feel content. When I get a lot of money, that's the second point. Second point is, so the one, what we look like. The second one is, what we have. Our possessions. Money. And I want to say this, and this is where today's word comes in beautifully. There is a very big difference between being happy with what you have, okay, versus to be joyful and content even when you don't have it. Because that's also the reality that we can live in. Imagine this. Imagine the burden, and this was me for most of my life, up until a couple of years ago. And it's still something I have to work through. I'm not like, but it was a massive challenge. I carried this burden, like this weight on my back. And I was pursuing, I need to have possessions. I need to have money. I need to have wealth. I need to make sure I get enough so I can buy a car and a house and provide and all those things. I needed to be rich and gather all these things that will perish. And I knew that scriptures. I've heard that scriptures many times, but there was still the desire. The thing deep in my heart was still there. Okay, if you have to go look deep, and to be honest, there was still this striving for that. Okay, even I knew the truth, but I wasn't living in the reality Does that make sense? And I was going for it in this business, and I enjoyed it even. And the Lord just came, and it was a step by step by step by step, surrender by surrender by surrender, dying to yourself, dying to yourself, dying to yourself, process that He took me through, and it was painful. Let's not lie about the journey. It's painful, okay? But it got me to a place where suddenly the bondage, the chain of the weight, of the burden broke and it fell. And you know what I felt then? Well, let me ask this question first. You know what happened? My circumstances didn't change. I didn't have more money. I didn't have more possessions. In that moment, to be honest, it was the poorest place I've ever been in my life. Okay? Like I was basically bankrupt. I was in a bad space in my life. I was battling with so many things. I was in a very bad space in my life. Practically, very bad. But what the Lord did, He came and He broke the chain, the bondage that was through my mind, the enemy, in whatever way, He broke that off my life and it fell. And suddenly, in Jesus, I found a joy and I found a contentment in Him, regardless of my circumstances. And you know what? That felt good. Because suddenly, I was like, wow, I can live a joyful life. I can be happy. I can be joyful. I can enjoy the people, the things I have. If I don't have it, I can actually be happy without this constant pursuit and worry and almost pursuit to get stuff to make me feel happy. So what will we choose today? Are we going to pursue the lie of chasing after temporary things that will be thrown in the fire, that the moths will eat up, that will be burned up, that can be here today and taken away tomorrow? Are we putting our trust and our faith to be happy in temporary things that will fade away? Or are we pursuing God, belonging, and living in the reality where Paul says, I know what it is to have riches. I know what it is to have to be poor. To live in a house, to be in jail, to have plenty, to have little. He's like, I've tasted both of them. And he's writing that from a place of jail. Like the second time he's been put in jail. And it's not a convenient jail. If you go doing research, how it looked like when they were thrown in jail that time, there were no Wi-Fi or comfortable beds. Okay? Most of the day they were chained to stand up naked. Imagine you have to be chained naked for 18 hours standing up. Okay? That's quite seriously tough. And then you look at what he writes and he says, I've learned the secret to being content regardless of my circumstances. Wow, that's amazing. You know, that's not just for Paul. He's writing that for the churches. He's writing that for us. We can live in the reality where God is my source of joy. And let me quickly just be vulnerable here. Yesterday, me and Angelica were sitting on a couch, and we've been sick, Daniel's been sick, we haven't been sleeping, and we were just like, we don't feel any joy, not any, but we were feeling very little joy the last couple of months or weeks in our life. It's been feeling mainly just tough, you know? And then I just want to say, part of like what we've been going through is like we were complaining a lot. We were mumbling, grumbling, self-pity, all those things crept up. So I'm not saying like, please hear my heart, like this is also like, Futa, are you hearing what you're saying? Honestly, I'm like, come on, I've been missing this for so much. My circumstances look different, but the truth of what we can apply God's word is always the same. It's just different for all of us, but it's the same truth that will set us free. Okay, so just because we've passed certain tests, never get casual. Someone prayed or Arda said, like, we quickly become casual. We do quickly become casual. Let me go into, so I'm going to skip that verse. Maybe, okay, I'm even going to skip that. Two scriptures. I'm just going to not go into that now, but Yeah, so I want to share this. I got to the space of like, that's currently where me and Angelica are at in our moment, like in our lives. It's like, I remember it's been the most, no, I don't know how to sorry put this, but it's like, we haven't been sleeping for a long time. Like, or very little sleep, like very little sleep. And if you get so tired, everything else gets difficult, okay? It's like the flesh is so shallow. The frustration and the irritation gets like this. You just feel it's something small and it's just like, and it's so tough for me. Like, even in that, I feel like I don't feel good about myself. Now self-pity or even guilt, shame and condemnation want to creep in because I feel I'm not always a good husband. I'm not always a good, like, father, or even in church, I don't always do good. Or just, it's just like this endless cycle of battles that comes from this place of, you're just so tired. It's more difficult to spend time with God. And we've been just on this journey, like really just battling and struggling on this journey. And just want to get to a specific thing I wanted to say on that. So, so we've been praying. Obviously, now you're desperate in that place. You've been praying for to get more sleep and praying like for us to get healed. Okay, so in my mind, that was the solution. I should have maybe said even the title for the preach. Okay, I'm more than halfway done, but the title also just emphasizes what I'm going to say now. The will of the Father. What is the will of the Father for us? Okay, so in my mind, I'm like, Lord, if we sleep more, it's going to solve all our problems. Maybe practically, yes, it will help a lot in a sense. But is that the core of what's going on at the moment? Is that it? Like, because God even says, if you ask anything according to my will, I will give it to you. And let me tell this, I've been praying a lot, a lot, a lot about help us to sleep. And now we're not sleeping any better. And then I'm like, okay, Lord, but maybe there's something deeper in this. Like, why are you not? Because he says if we're asking in his will. So maybe I was like, Lord, maybe this is not your will for us to sleep better now. And then I'm like, but why? Practically, it makes sense to me. Okay? And then I remembered this lesson I've failed many times. And I wish I could share all the stories. There was this whole story of our breastfeeding journey that we went through. There was the whole story of how the Lord spoke to us in coming to plant the church in Bethlehem. There was this whole story of in my pursuit to get a wife and my job and stuff, that I went up the mountain, like there was this like going up the mountain journey. And it was one of the same lessons that came through all of these journeys. And the lesson was this, and I've preached on this even. And I trust as I'm sharing this now that I will hear and remember, and I hope you also hear and remember this. This is a very important thing because we all say we want to live in God's will and we know it's the best place to be. Okay, so how desperate or serious are we to know what God's will is for our life or to live in that? Part of that question may be answered in the posture and the way we approach God or the amount of time in the way we will spend time with God. Because often I caught myself in praying, most 99% of the time I was praying, Lord, help me to feel better. Please help us to sleep. Please help us to get healed. And it's not bad to pray those prayers. Like, hear what I'm saying. It's good prayers and it can be in God's will. But there was a very, very important key that I was missing. And I like to put it in these words, open-handed prayer. Remember the word open-handed prayer and put it in your heart. And that's a posture before Jesus, where we also come and say, Lord, my hands are open before you, in praying. And like, okay, Lord, I'm going through a season and a place where I am not sleeping well. It's really tough. And it's okay to say those things. And then instead of just deciding self, what's the solution and asking for that? Maybe what's also very helpful is constantly asking God, Lord, what are you doing? What is your role in this time? What do you want to teach me? What are you learning me? What are you doing in my heart in this time? Does that make sense? In this season of going through difficult things, ask the Lord, what are you doing? Is this something you want to teach me? Because I can tell you now, the Lord has been teaching us now for a while to stop complaining, to stop constantly mumbling and grumbling and having self-pity, okay? Because that stuff that surfaces, and those things that surface, it's not from God. Because here's the thing, what's more important to God? Temporary things or things with value for eternity? Obviously, where there's value for eternity. Okay, so in that context, what's more important for God? To change our hearts, to learn to rejoice, to be grateful, and not to to be grateful and thankful and to rejoice, and to learn not to complain, not to mumble, to grumble and have self-pity, or to be maybe in a more comfortable place of sleeping more. What's more important for God? Yes, His heart is He wants us to get good sleep. So I'm not saying He wants us to sleep bad. But if we have to weigh up in God's eyes and for His heart to change us, because changing us means we will even in the future live differently, but it will also be a place where we get sanctified and conformed more into His image, more into His character, where there is value for eternity. That's what the Bible teaches us. He's coming back for a pure and spotless bride. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be more like Jesus. But if I'm going to keep complaining every time I'm going through something difficult, I'm stuck. Does that make sense? We need to learn what God wants us to learn. So instead of making it a default to pray for the solution we may think is the solution, rather let's use more time to come before the Lord. What are you doing? Please show me. What do you want to do? And let's pursue righteousness, holiness in God. Just a couple more minutes. And I do want to say this. Yes, those things are very, very real. And it is very difficult. I'm not saying it's easy. Okay, I'll be the first one to put up my hand and say, even in saying this, it's not easy. Okay. It's really easy, and it also takes time to grow and learn these things. It's not just a light bulb moment and everything's changed. Okay, it's not as simple as that. So I hope that breaks a bit of pressure on, like, because often I feel like, oh, I get this now, it needs to be perfect. It's okay if it takes time. God is interested in the posture of our hearts and the daily decision we make to pursue those things, more than how quickly things get solved. Does that make sense? Because the Bible does say He takes us from one degree of glory to the next. It doesn't take us from 1 to 50. It's one degree of glory to the next. It's okay. So break that burden off if you feel like, yeah. Anyway, I just felt to maybe encourage the performance-driven spirit or mindset creeps so quickly into our heart. So what is the will of God, Cain? The question I want to just get a bit to. One of the beautiful keys that the Lord has given me on this, like, what is God's will? So I mentioned before I got married, I was pursuing this thing, this whole going up the mountain thing of, like, praying and seeking God to, like, to get a wife and, like, with my work and all those things. And then one day, I was spending time with God, and in this whole journey, it's the thing of, like, passing the test, because we know the Bible says, for example, James 1, it says, dear brothers and sisters, rejoice whenever you face trials and tests of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, so let it grow so that you may become more complete, lacking in nothing. Okay, so that's a beautiful, like, I think, like, key the Lord has even given to me in when I asked Him. Okay, but Lord, I mentioned Paul said, I've learned the secret to be content regardless of the circumstances. And I asked the Lord, like, what is the secret? And I can't tell you that this is the secret, but one of the things He told me specifically is, Like, okay, but whenever you face any trials or difficult stuff or test, rejoice. Okay, but then what happened was like, I'm like, okay, this is a test. I need to pass the test. But the problem was, for me to pass the test, it also came from a performance-driven background. So I was like, okay, to pass the test, I need to do everything right. When I do everything right, God will give me the girlfriend, which will become my wife, my financial breakthrough, whatever those things I was praying for. Make sure you do everything the right thing, you know? You know, and the problem with that is we quickly, in a sense, make God to be this genie in a lamp, where we erupt the lamp, the genie comes out, and you think, you know, I've done what God says, rub it, and do this, and ask this, and then God is not a genie in a lamp. Okay, that's very important to know. And then the Lord came and spoke to me, and he told me, Futa, you don't pass the test by doing everything right. You pass the test by learning the lesson I want you to learn. Yo, and that was like a significant moment in my life. There was again this pressure breaking. Like, oh, it was so like exhausting to try and do everything perfect right. For example, God was testing me on my patience and like not to respond badly. So maybe an example all of us, or most of us, will relate to. If I'm driving, there will always be this thing of people not obeying the rules, and on the road it's quickly like this, you know, anger, or you would say something and the Lord was challenging me, hey, be patient and have the fruit of the Spirit in that moment, like don't lose your joy, you know, joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Are you applying those things in this moment? So I'm like, no, I'm in the flesh, okay? I want to learn you in whatever circumstances to respond through. Okay, you know, shit's so beautiful, the fruit of the Spirit. I want to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So, but now I was like, okay, the situation is happening. I need to respond perfectly in all that stuff. Yeah, that should be ultimately what just happens. But I thought, now when I did this, now and I passed the test, like almost waiting for my reward. Does that make sense? And it just didn't happen. I'm like, Lord, and then he told me, you must learn what I want you to learn. So in your circumstances, in your situation, ask the Lord, in seeking his will, to seek God's will for your life, where you're at the moment. Lord, what do you want me to, what are you teaching me? What are you learning me? Okay, and I'll get to a bit more on that now. So, I need to... So, a solution. The Lord gave me four words this morning. I'm going to be more brief on this. Not the solution, just something I felt a solution for us, okay? Is four words. I hope you can remember this. Seek Him, hear Him, obey Him, love Him. Seeking God, hearing God, obeying God, loving God. Seek Him, hear Him, obey Him, love Him. Okay, very important. Okay, Jeremiah 29 verse 11 to 14 says this. For I know, we all know the scripture so well. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Okay, so quickly go back. I think just, I'm going to share something on that now. Just to mention there, you know, this is one of those fridge magnet scriptures we all know and grow up with, okay? But we do something of God, see of God's heart there. Like His heart is plans to prosper us, okay? To give us hope and a future. You can go to the next one. Then you will call on me, okay? So I wanted actually to ask this. Who knows what's after Jeremiah 29 verse 11? Who knows the next three verses? That's quite interesting. We know that one, but what's the context? What does the Bible say after that? Listen to this. Then you will call on me, and it also says you will seek me, one of the translations, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Okay, there it is. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. It's okay, that's just the context of Israel. So in that, we see God's heart, for Israel was there to give them a hope, future, and to prosper them, okay? But the context of that scripture, God spoke, like when Jesus said that, okay? It's really interesting. After he said that, they went into captivity for 300 years. And you're like, wait, what? Didn't God just say, I have plans to prosper you. I've planned for a hope and a future. For my chosen, my precious chosen people. But now the Lord sends them into slavery, into Egypt. And you're like, but this doesn't make sense. Like, how can you say you've got these beautiful plans, but we're going into these difficult circumstances of being in captive and slavery? And I want to just jump back what I shared now, because God's heart was that for them. But once again, if we have to weigh up convenience that leads to disobedience, not relying on Him, not seeking Him, not pursuing Him, not loving Him with all of your heart, we're often in slavery. When it's not easy, when there's challenges, when there's problems, when there's inconvenience, what often happened then in our hearts? Now we start to pray. Now we start to realize how much we need God. Now we start to grow into this place of like calling out to Him, seeking Him, relying on Him, pursuing Him. Does that make sense? And what's more important for God? Because He knew, if we look at the whole story of Israel, it's a story where God has been doing incredible things for them to bring them back. But His heart ultimately is so that they can become, you know, a nation where Jesus is their first love. Ultimately, that they will love nothing more than loving Jesus with all of their hearts. And it's the same for us, if we have to be honest. Often when we're in a space of convenience for just a bit too long, we tend to lose this deep sense of dependency on Him. We tend to seek Him sometimes less. Is that the truth? Are you in agreement with what I'm saying? Hey? So because God loves us and He cares more about our hearts and our character and what He wants to do in us, He will often let us go through difficult things. That's a good lesson to learn from there. Okay, and then next one is, and I hope that encourages you. Like, it's really like, whatever you're going through, there's a beautiful lesson to be learned. There's something that God wants to do in your heart. And even to know that as a father, He loves us so much that He's more concerned to do something in us. But He will not leave us. Because even when you look at Matthew 6, He's not a father like, yeah, I'm so focused to do in you something that I will not take care of you. He will take care of us, even in those circumstances. Okay, but to weigh up what's more important is very important. Like, I shared about being open-handed with our prayers. So something that we can know is God's will for our lives. And I've just shared on this. And to have our hearts fully devoted to Him and for Him to change our hearts. Remember that. And I can't think, if we really think about this, there's actually nothing worth more than to know that because God loves us, that He's so interested in our hearts and who we are, more than what we have, for example. Does that make sense? Yeah. Even in praying, I'm just going to say this quickly and then I'm going to land in the next last bit. So, even when we're praying, okay, so I think something of good intentions we love to say or to ask, whatever we're going through, we ask, please pray for me for that thing. It's not necessarily a bad thing, okay? Let's say I'm at work, I am going through something difficult, it's real stuff, and it's not bad to ask that, okay? Or whenever someone's going through whatever, we quickly like, I'm going to pray for you for that, for a solution. But I want to challenge us again on this, okay? It's good, let's pray for one another, let's ask for prayer, but even in praying for one another, let's not just assume we know what the solution is when praying for one another. Because I think sometimes without us realizing it, We can pray against God's will for that person. What if it is God's will for you for that moment to go through something difficult? Now I'm praying for a solution for that difficulty that you're in, okay? And ultimately, yes, God wants to bring you out of that difficulty, ultimately, okay? So hear me out. But now I'm praying and I'm praying for you, Lord, give breakthrough and freedom in this thing. But that can be directly opposing what God's will is for that person in the moment. So maybe we can also ask the Lord and focus a bit more in that situation to also pray. Okay, but what do you feel is God's doing in your life at that moment? Is there something coming to the surface? Do you feel God is wanting to learn you? Like, what is He learning you in that moment? Does that make sense? Then we pray for that. We can also pray and ask, if it's your will, God, give breakthrough. But when Peter is going through whatever situation, let's not be quick to think, I know, and to play God for what's the solution. If we know certain situations, we go for it. Because some situations, it's against what the Bible says. But let's not be those people where, if it's inconvenient, we immediately assume it's not from God. We just saw in Israel, His will was, His heart, His purpose is good for them. But sometimes He uses difficulty to do something in their hearts and in their lives that's more important. So even when we are praying for one another, let's remember that. To maybe ask, Lord, okay, but what's your will? Why are you letting Andrew go through this thing in your life? And we need to sometimes also keep quiet and pray. Like, Lord, what are you saying? Where are you in the situation? And we need to wait on God, because a relationship means there's a conversation not from one side, it's a two-way street conversation. Okay, so may we be more intentional in the way we pray. Okay, and then I want to look at Jesus. I'm going to try to land this quickly. John 5 verse 30. You know, John 5 verse 30. It says, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear it. This is the words of Jesus, and my judgment is just. For I seek not to please myself, but Him who sent me. Okay, and then the next, I seek not to please myself, but to Him who sent me. Luke 22, verse 42 to 44 says this. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but your will be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So even Jesus Himself said, Lord, but not my will be done, but your will be done. So, okay, what was Jesus doing there Himself? He was seeking the Father, he was seeking God, he was praying. What's your will? Because Jesus Himself said, if I can choose, I don't want to drink this cup of suffering. I don't want to go through this. But he was seeking God, okay, and then he was, what was the second word? Hearing God. Then God obviously spoke to him, because Jesus Himself said, I do nothing unless the Father tells me to do it. I'm paraphrasing now. But I do nothing unless I see the Father does it. Or, you know, so it's not like I'm just doing what I want. It's even being in submission as fully God. So he was seeking God. He was hearing God as I was seeking. For us, if we seek God with all of our heart, we will find Him. In finding Him, it means He will speak to us. So He will hear, or He will show us what He's doing in our lives. Seeking God, hearing God, and then what did Jesus do then? He obeyed Him. So that's another thing. We can hear God and not obey Him. That's the scary thing. We need to obey Him, because often He asks us to do something, but it's difficult. And then that whole preach what I did on life and death is very applicable there. So let's obey God. And even Jesus Himself, like, He obeyed the Father by laying down His life, by going through pain, suffering, humiliation, rejection, like what's those words for Peter, and you know, it's really difficult things he went through, but he obeyed the Father to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's obedience. And then the last one, love him, because the Bible says if we love him, we will obey him. And here's the beautiful thing. If we seek God and we find him, the 100% guarantee always will be what if we find him, we will find we find him who's beautiful. We find him who's glorious, who's amazing, who's incredible. He is amazing. Okay, so if we find him, we will fall more in love with him. That's the beautiful thing. If we seek him and if we get to know his heart and his character, and in the midst even of our challenges and our troubles and our trials, something in our hearts will like be like, oh God, I really love you, and I realize you are amazing. And we will hear him, and then our hearts will obey him from a place of loving him. Does that make sense? So may we seek God, and as we seek him, we will hear him, we will hear his voice, and may we obey him, because obedience is one of the, I want to say, the love language of God. It's like, if we love him, we obey him, even if it's something difficult he asks us to do. So, before we go into response, maybe practical for us, how does that may look like for us? I wanted to look at more, many more places in the Bible, but for us, now we're praying for a job or a better job, a car or healing or a wife or a house, more money, whatever it may be like. And it can all be good, like I said. But again, what's the will of God? What does God want us to learn? It can be, maybe he wants us to learn to really trust him. Maybe he's teaching us to learn to be content with what we have. Maybe he's teaching us to learn to be faithful with what we've been given. Maybe he wants to get rid of idols in our lives. Maybe there's things in our lives that's idols. What I look like, was an idol in my life. Success. Maybe God is teaching us to surrender something to him. Maybe what he's focusing on now is for us to get breakthrough from sin. Maybe that's what he's doing. He's going, letting you go through something difficult so that we can repent and turn away from sin. Maybe it's to learn to get to that place where we learn to live more in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For us, it's like I shared, it's to learn to rejoice in all circumstances, not to complain, mumble and grumble. So what is God teaching you guys at the moment? What is he learning you at this moment? As I was sharing, what is that thing? Let me just stop here.